5 is a rezoning at 696 St. Anne's Road under file DAZ-242 of 2012. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following item will also be heard at the same time. Namely, item 6 is a variance at 696 St. Anne's Road under file DAV-179066 of 2012D.
Okay, we've got a number of people, both in support and in opposition to this application. I'm going to call down the applicant first, Richard Bembridge. Is Richard here? Richard, maybe you can start just with giving us a brief outline of what it is that you're trying to accomplish here.
I'm Richard Bridge, 2175 St. Mary's Road. I'm the applicant. I'm here as Jarvis and Florence Suarez's presenter. Jarvis and Florence are the owners of Starfield Auto Body, and they also reside at 696 St. Anne's Road. I want to make it really clear that I have no interest in Starfield Auto Body. I'm not a manager or employee or anything like that. I have no financial interest in Starfield Auto Body or otherwise. My involvement in this application is strictly benevolent. My function here today is to provide some background as to the nature and purpose of the application. There's others in attendance here that this application means so much more to, and they will also have a chance to tell you why they're here. Jarvis and Florence have lived at 696 St. Anne's Road for nearly 50 years. In the 70s, Jarvis began an auto body repair business that's grown to be a bit of an institution in St. Vitale. Like to fast forward to 1989, Jarvis and Florence were granted a variance use order that permitted the operation of an auto body repair facility. The variance use order expires the 1st of May 2014. Being proactive and wanting to ensure the future of their business, particularly with respect to their employees, Jarvis was desirous of properly and legally zoning his property specific to its use. Casually, while enjoying our shared hobby of horses, I offered to help him navigate the complexities in this endeavor, standing in front of a bus. The Suarettas are the finest corporate and community supporters. They're excellent employers. They're concerned about their staff being able to work nearer their own retirement without having to find jobs that would not be near as good as the ones that they've earned at Starfield. Starfield Auto Bodies survived the changes in development in St. Vitale. It's one of the longest standing businesses in St. Vitale. It's previously cooperated with developers to the south and to the west. And Starfield has proudly respected the neighbors and neighborhood by its fencing, landscaping, and general maintenance of its grounds on a daily basis. All work is done indoors, behind insulated doors, Monday to Friday, after 7 a.m. and before 5 p.m., and they do not operate on weekends. During a meeting, Brad Starfield's long-serving service manager commented that more than once, Starfield had been confused for a funeral home. Jarvis and Florence can boast that not one complaint has been received of its operation, as the report associated with this application also states. Now, the background of the application is the variance use order expires. Had the property been zoned instead of the variance use order been granted in 89, no one would be standing here before you today. The nature of the application is for Starfield to properly and legally continue its operation beyond that expiry. The nature of the application is not for Jarvis and Florence to expand, to sell, or to redevelop the property. Referring to the logistics of the application, an auto body repair shop must operate on C2 land. Thus, the application to rezone from RR5 to C2. City of Winnipeg bylaws no longer provide a variance use order or extensions of such. Jarvis and I met a long time ago with zoning and planning and learned that this is the only way for Starfield to continue proper and legal. C2 land is described by the City of Winnipeg as intended to include attractive service facilities needed to support the surrounding neighborhoods and the broader community. C2 districts are generally located along collector streets or portions of arterial streets. I submit that Starfield, located on an arterial street, is attractive as in its presentation, provides employment, and a needed service to the community, just as the district or designation suggests. Therefore, I respectfully submit that adopting the recommendations of the administrative report be accepted. The recommendation by the Urban Planning Division recommends the approval of the application, as the proposed rezoning is consistent with the complete community strategy direction strategy, and C2 is compatible with the surrounding uses along St. Anne's Road and within this area. And I can tell you that Jarvis and Florence are grateful for this endorsement. Now, the variance. The second part of the application is the variance. The variance is necessary to ensure that from an operational standpoint, the parking and maneuverability of the vehicles in the manner in which the staff have become accustomed to is paramount to the survivability of its operation. I've got photographs here that show the perimeter of the property and the fencing that's been done. And did you want a minute to look at those, Councillor? Do you want to look at those, or do you want me to continue?
No, keep going.
The photos show that all of the residences cannot see past the fencing into the operation. As such, any landscape setback would not be beneficial to the residential yards. I also wish to point out that 6 of the 7 residences in question are bungalows, and as such, they do not have the elevation great enough to enjoy the setback if it was on the other side of a fence. There is no proposal to reduce the fence, and I refer the panel to the aerial photo, which is included in the administrator's report, which I have a copy of, if you'd like to have it.
I will have that already.
You'll have that? It shows 5 of the 7 yards enjoy a deeper backyard than most others in the photos. Again, if you look at the neighboring properties, they're not as deep. Again, benefiting from a landscape setback is unlikely. If one were to contemplate a setback on the west lot line, I refer you to the fact that the residential yards are considerably higher, 18 to 24 inches in elevation. This was done when Qualico developed this portion of River Park South, and it caused Starfield to erect a concrete curb built on piles with a wood fence constructed on top, in order to accommodate a swale that's also referred to in the administrator's report for the application that carries runoff to a catch basin on Compark Road. The cost of the curbing, the piling, the paving, and the fencing was at Starfield's expense. I also add that the construction of this was done with the blessing of Water and Wastes. Landscaping with shrubs and trees would negatively impact the complicated drainage necessary for the site, and it's our argument that the variance, particularly with respect to the west lot line, be granted for the reasons that I have offered. When one contemplates the setback on the south lot lines, I again refer to the aerial photo. If you were to insist upon a setback for the most easterly Res 1 yard, Starfield would not be able to park or reverse a car's direction in that part of the lot. As we move west, some consideration to a setback has been given. I offer a landscape plan generated by a landscape contractor that we retained to consider what would survive and be beneficial to both the C2 district and the RM1 district. And here are the details of that plan. Now, what we're caused to work with is Section 7, buffering of residential uses from non-residential impacts. This pertains to the RM1 district, specifically the south and west lot lines. Section 7A1, Option 2, states that site edge buffering must include an opaque wall berm or fence or dense vegetative screen with a minimum combined height of 6 feet. If a fence is used, the maximum continuous length is 48 feet, at the end of which a landscape strip of a minimum of 16 feet. A minimum depth of 4 feet and shrubs a minimum height of 2.5 feet must be provided. Our plan shows a continuous fence of approximately 160 feet against the RM district and 88 feet of landscape incorporated appropriately to break this up. The fence and shrubs are higher than 2.5 feet, and our plan meets the requirement. Perhaps more specifically, the area in question is parking. Section 8 states a landscape buffer must be installed when a parking or loading area accessory to any use is located within 20 feet of a side or rear lot line abutting or adjacent to residential zoning district. Section 9 offers option 2, as I outlined, as a solution, except that the minimum height of that fence is 4 feet instead of 6. And there's no option, there's no plan to reduce the fencing that's there, just to landscape against it so that we can try to meet some of the requirements of the buffer.
That's beeping because we try and keep you to 10 minutes. But
I'm close, eh? Again, I offer that our plan complies. And in summary, I offer that the Sureta's true commitment to the rezoning and variance in order to secure the future for their business has no greater example than the time and cost it takes to do this. You know, the cost is scheduled to be in the six figures. And to do this for their employees is the real reason why we're here today. It's not for any redevelopment or anything like that. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions at this time, Councillor?
Not at this time.
No.
I
do have one, which was, I'm not sure if we're hearing.
You talked about retirement plans for Jarvis. Is that, none of this is legally binding, but is that imminent? Is that what, that's been raised, so I wanted to ask about
it. I think in my speech what I was referring to, Councillor Mays, is Jarvis and Florence want to be able to secure the zoning so that Starfield can exist up until the time at which their employees decide to retire. The question of their retirement isn't part of this. They want to know that this business can survive with their management and staff that they currently have in place. If they don't get the zoning designation, on May 1st, 2014, Starfield will cease to exist, and they don't want that for their employees.
Hey, can you clarify something for me? It appears
Certainly.
Like there's a residence on the property, too.
Yes. That's their residence.
Their residence. So they reside on this property, and it will be C2 zoned after this if it's successful with a residence on the property as well as the commercial use.
Correct. That's an accessory use of the property.
Okay. Anything else?
In other words, they can't sell the business unless the person intends to live in that house, vice versa, right?
Well, we'll hear some more people, and we'll probably get into this more in rebuttal, but it's sort of the reuse of this point at some of this land at some point in the future is going to be a concern. I think you're going to hear people talking about that as you go forward. So,
of course.
It seems like there's a residence and then a bunch of buildings that have been added on and clustered together as the business, I think, has grown. The structure on the site has grown.
Okay.
It appears like it's a bunch of different buildings that are somehow connected.
There's one building there that it's taken many forms over the years, but there's one building there.
Okay. Okay, well, we'll hear from some others, and then we'll call you back in rebuttal.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, that's just an eye view. That's the air view. That's this. Just bring it up separately.
Okay, I've got a number of other people here in support. I remind you, you don't have to come up and speak. You can just voice your support. But if there's something you think that we need to hear, by all means, come forward, and we'd more than welcome the information. So these are the folks that are here in support. Jarvis and Florence Suareda, would you like to speak? I'm assuming you're Jarvis.
Yes, I am. But just, well,
just maybe for the record, your name and address.
My name is Jarvis Serrata.
and the address is 696 St. Anne's Road.
Okay, carry on.
Okay, I am Jarvis Ferretta, like I said, with my wife, Florence. We own Starfield Auto Body, and we have lived at 696 St. Anne's Road for 50 years. Florence has lived there since 1956 with her parents. It is more than a piece of land. It is a homestead with a heartfelt memories and history. Our devoted employees who have made our business thrive and have made Starfield Auto Body proud to serve our community with quality work and integrity for 40 years are the people that are most important in our plans to keep operating the same way with no changes. These employees deserve to be able to go home to their families and reassure them that we, Starfield Auto Body, will continue to secure a future for them and their families. Pardon me. Over the years, we've been asked, how can you live here on our business lot when most people have homes elsewhere where in private surroundings? Well, it's very easy. When you love what you do, we had strict rules that have been kept from day one to present. Hours from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., absolutely no weekends. The place has to be well maintained and clean. Our employees were respectful and quiet. We have never had any problems. Excuse me. We have not had any complaints. When there was any issues, they were addressed to the best of our ability, as long as they were brought to our attention. Our facility is well respected by MPIC, and when people who had work done at other body shops on their vehicles and were not satisfied, went back to MPIC quality control, were told that they could have their vehicle redone again by a body shop of their choice. And when they came and chose to come to Starfield, and the customer and the inspector from quality control would approve the repairs, the customer would be more than grateful. And that is a proof of our workmanship and devotion to the customer, which comes back to our employees who make Starfield Auto Body the success it is. Therefore, we have not advertised a whole lot, as our customers did that for us. Word of mouth would spread, and that would generate new customers, as well as all the repeat customers from second and third generation.
Jarvis, could I just, we're starting to talk about your business here rather than the use on the land. I mean, I'm sure
The business is coming to what, how we are trying to, are my employees, we have,
we need to hear information about the rezoning. I understand that you have an existing business there and that you've been a good business person for many years.
Yeah, I know that, but like I say, it's coming to the employees where my employees, okay, I could leave that. Like, there are a couple of things. I won't keep you long.
Do your best. I'm just sort of reminding you here. I'm not telling you.
I just won't be long. I'll just let you know. Because of our success at Starfield, we usually have a waiting list of 4 to 6 weeks during the year, with as many as 25 to 30 cars per week being serviced in the shop. This is made possible by the fleet of our 20 U-drives that we have on our own maintained for our customers. Therefore, the years of our business has generated to about 40,000 customers. We are grateful to our community and business associates and our neighbors for being so supportive over the years. In order to extend our variance, a C2 zoning bylaw has been to be in place for us to remain operating. Without it, we will cease to exist. Therefore, putting our devoted, hard-working, honest employees out of work with no ability to provide for their families is inaccessible to us. Starfield Auto Body is a business, but more importantly, it is our home, and we are well established in our home, and we would not operate if we could not live there. Okay, we're coming to the end. In closing, I want to mention my staff, who I am so proud of and lucky to have. The staff consists of Brad Thompson, who has been with us for 32 years. He is the manager now for 26 years and in charge of daily operation. Jan Westra is Brad's assistant and has been here 15 years. Now we've got our staff, Jerry LaFantasy, painter. For 34 years, he started when he was 15 years old. Andrew Scheller, painter, 32 years, started when he was 15 years old. This is sending them from school, and that's when they started, cutting grass. Brian Osetic, body technician, 30 years, 15 years old when he came. Kyle Johnson, auto body technician, 21 years, he was 18 years. Clifford Lusinger, auto body technician, 22 years with us, he was 16 years. Richard Barcott, auto body technician, 5 years with us, but he's got 30 years prior experience. Brian Dufel, auto body technician, apprentice, he's only been with us 3 months. Ral Johnson, cleanup and parts, 9 years. Nolan Amos, quality control and cleanup, 8 years. Now this is the end. Florence and I have worked side by side every day since the business started in the 70s. We are involved on a daily basis that runs the office and accounting, and I oversee the whole operation. My staff is nowhere near retirement. They really rely on their jobs to pay their bills, evaluate their or educate their children, and plan for the future. We cannot, in good faith, let our employees and their families down by having our business terminated. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jarvis. Any questions, Councillor?
There was a variance that was granted a few years ago in pertaining to a second dwelling unit in the family home, that you were allowed to have a second unit in the house up until May 1st, 2014, or until the kitchen would be taken out if somebody moved out. What's happening with that?
Okay, the second unit was for my mother-in-law. Instead of sending her to a nursing home, my wife is the only daughter. We built it on, and she lived up to 92. My wife looked after her. She had Alzheimer's for about 7 years. It wasn't easy. And what we did, we made a doorway from our part of the house to her part. She could walk into our place, didn't have to go outside. Because at one point when we were away, she went outside. Well, she used to go outside to feed our cats or whatever. And she broke her arm. And after that, we did that. And then she was good until she passed away 4 years ago. And like I say, she was had old timers for these things. So instead of sending her to a nursing home or everything, my wife looked after her. Now, that part of the house, my wife's got an office there. Plus, she wants to do the other part, make a big bedroom, so it becomes a one dwelling.
Because we've got a provision about the kitchen facilities are to be removed, so.
Well, it's still the kitchen. There's nothing there. It's just a fridge and a stove. When you're opinion and you have a bunch of people, so she does cook in both. But like I say, it's still there. the bedroom is an office now, and she wants a living room and dining room that is together. My wife wants to redo it as a bedroom, not a bedroom.
Okay.
Yep.
That's it.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Next in support, if you want to come down and speak, you're welcome to. J.P. Fontaine, just here in support. Okay, thank you. We have Jarvis again. Okay, well, Mark has already spoken. Andrew Scheller in support. Kyle Johnson here in support. Ryan Dufault in support. Brad Thompson. You want to say a few words, Brad? Come on down. Well, Brad, just your name and your record, and the name and your address for the record, please.
My name is
not
Brad.
Not your record. I wasn't meaning to infer anything.
My name is Brad Thompson. I'm at 200 Wales Avenue.
Okay.
Just to start off, I am by no means a public speaker, but just bear with me. I can stand up here today as manager of Starfield Auto and tell you all how many cars we fix, how many bumpers we replace, or how much revenue we bring in each month, but that isn't why I'm here. I'm here today to tell you about our employees and their dedication to Starfield Auto and the St. Vitale community. As employees, the outcome of this meeting bears heavily on our minds each and every day as we rely on Starfield Auto. Our staff has been at Starfield, as you heard, for 30 plus, 20 plus, 10 plus, 5 plus years. Most of us have families, 1, 2, 3 kids. Two of us are single dads. One of us is just a kid starting out, like four of us did 30 years ago at Starfield Auto. We all depend on Starfield Auto to support and care for our families. We also come to work every day at Starfield because we take pride in serving the St. Vitale community. We have for so many years. A community that Jarvis and Florence have supported in many ways, such as the Retired Teachers Association of St. Vitale, St. Boniface, the Riel chapter, St. Vitale Vicks Hockey Club, St. Vitale Arenas, and many minor sports teams. They also support the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, as many of our staff do, and the Winnipeg Jets, and for many years of support to the Children's Wish Foundation. Starfield has always gone far and beyond to ensure that we comply with all workplace health and safety and fire regulations. At any time we were presented with advisements, they were always completed well before any time restrictions put upon us. As far as the industry standards, within the last 2 years, we have switched from chemical-based paint products to water-based paint products, which is great, not only for all of us who work there, but also for all of our neighbors and the environment around us. Our staff enjoy the best of equipment, not only for our use, but for our protection in the shop. Jarvis and Florence have always supplied us with the best of the best. Any training or equipment required by MPI to keep our shop gold class accredited is always supplied to us at no cost by Jarvis and Florence. When customers ask me why they should bring their car to Starfield Auto, I tell them that if they had their car fixed there 30 years ago, it's possible the same fella could be fixing their car today, which to me means more than any shop can say in the city. In the last 2 weeks, we did a short poll of the customers we served, and I have their letters, and every one of them endorsed us by providing these letters of support in our application. We have grown not only as a business, but we are relied on by many as a dependable, local, small business where the customers know they will always be treated as number one. Jarvis and Florence are Starfield Auto, and us as employees have made it what it is today, with guidance from them. Thank you for taking time today to hear a little bit about how much more Starfield Auto Body is than a business fixing cars and making money. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, Councillor?
I haven't seen the letters yet. We got
getting
a fair bit of paper from both sides just on the fly here.
That's just a short little thing we had them fill out. That's in the last week to 10 days.
I mean, the gist of this, though, is it fair to say, is that they want Starfield Auto Body to continue to operate as opposed to the nuances of buffering or landscaping or zoning or anything. I mean, both basically your customers are supporting you, saying they'd like to see you in business.
Exactly.
Okay.
The parking that you're using right now, there's a variance here to accommodate that parking. Is that absolutely necessary that the parking be where it is?
If you were to come to Starfield Auto and see the way it is,
I've got an aerial.
I guess Mr. the planner here has been there. He's seen it. He understands it. In the wintertime, it has to be, it's needed to be the way it is in order for us to get in and out of building, turn around, so that we don't cause more accidents that we're already fixing.
Okay. Are there anything else, Councillor?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Next in support, I have Jerry LaFontaine, maybe? LaFontagne? You here in support? Thanks, Jerry. Brian Osadic in support. C. Luzinger or Luzingen? Support. Close? Luzinger. Okay. I would have never guessed. Nolan Amos, in support, thank you. Ralph Johnson, thank you, Ralph. Richard Marcotte, okay. And John Westra, in support, thank you. Is there anybody else here in support whose name I haven't called who would like to be registered in support or would like to speak on this matter? No? Hearing none, we will move on to those in opposition. I don't know, is there a spokesperson for the group or should I just call the names as I have them here? Just call the names? Okay. First, I have Todd Christensen. Todd's going to call a different name. After Todd's going to be Ken Andrews, I believe. Okay, so I'll just call your name then afterwards.
My name is Todd Christensen, 14 Sheridan Place. I'm not here to sling mud at Starfield or their employees, anything like that. They've been fine neighbors. I'm kind of representing just people on our bay. If you see on your aerial where Sheridan is.
Comes off Turnham there?
Yeah. Our concern mostly, and everybody, several of them have put some letters here, it's the C2 designation and what that potentially can mean. And the understanding is, and I've heard the intent on record that the business isn't going to change, it's going to stay the way it is, but once it's a C2, I understand it can always be a C2 and anybody could buy that and put a 49-foot structure in there. And being as me and several of the neighbors back along parallel with St. Anne's, we've got a strip mall at the other end and three residences in between. So if that one goes C2 like Dave's Auto Body on the corner did, and then if Starfield's C2, what's to stop the next three from? And now several of us have a strip mall across our backyard. And that's kind of the main concern.
I guess I'll throw a question out at you, Todd. You know, we look down on St. Anne's and even on this, you know, the south end of St. Mary's before the perimeter, we get this quite a bit. There's still this old RR5 rural residential zoning or kind of agricultural zoning still left over. Most of them come forward for some kind of multifamily use, especially stuff on the other side down along the Seine River. At some point in the future, this land is going to come forward for rezoning. It's not going to stay as RR5 zoning. Have you got a preference for what you'd want this land to be?
Status quo.
Well, status quo is that guy sitting there doing his business. I mean, that's the dilemma we're in. It's like it seems like just a bad policy decision was made in 1989. Is that when it was? And so that there's an opportunity to come and argue it right now. And I hear what you're saying. And some of that's covered off in the variance, because there's in the variance it says that if this use disappears, then the variance disappears. So you'd get some buffering back in place. But you know, this is a very difficult application to deal with because it's an established business. It's not been an injurious impact for, it doesn't appear to have been from the report anyway, on the neighborhood. And we know this land's going to come forward for rezoning at some point. Like if this business were to leave there, and it, like we don't have the ability to say the conditional use can stay in place.
And like, that's what the objection is, basically.
Yeah.
Can I give you these?
Okay. You got a couple of questions, Councillor? Councillor Mays?
Yeah, just, I've certainly knocked on doors on Turnham a couple of times and on Sheridan a couple of times, as recently as last fall, in fact, and nobody's ever raised this, the noise or smells or anything. I mean, if I were to say to you, no one, as far as I can tell, no one has raised an issue or a complaint with the existing business. Would that be... that be your experience? Your
from opinion? Sheridan Place, I would say yes.
Yeah, okay. And maybe Mr. Kostyuk, our planner, could help us by, I mean, we're hearing the term C2, flesh out for us what sort of height restrictions, what kind of size, what is that in broad terms? What does that, if I bought a C2 piece of land, what could I do as of right? What could I build there?
There are multiple permitted uses that you could proceed with. If you're thinking more along the bulk terms of what the building would be, for a height for a commercial building, it would be 49 feet. And for a multifamily building, it would be 60 feet. However, a multifamily structure in the C2 zone requires a conditional use application, which requires a public hearing. So it's not as of right development for a multifamily, just to be clear, but it would be before a committee for a public hearing.
In the approval of the rezoning, can we put a condition on height?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That can be taken into consideration. Rear yard setback for any building in that zone is 25 feet as well as another thing to consider. So that's off the westerly portion in this particular instance. And then off the side yards, it's primarily dealt with through the buffering conditions that one of which is being applied to be varied. So the 10-foot setback against the R1 or R2 zone property. If it's abutting, for instance, a commercial zone property, that restriction doesn't apply. So in this particular instance where there's the R1 properties, that's where the 10-foot setback is. That's the request for the variance. It applies to those R1 properties.
And the 25-foot setback?
For the rear portion, so the westerly portion, as measured from the westernmost property line in.
Okay.
So that's an idea of some of the bulk requirements, but there are certainly many more permitted uses that would be allowed under the C2, ranging from retail to office. I could go through the list. It's fairly extensive.
Okay, Todd, thank you very much.
We'll call on the others here and see if we can get some more information. This is the pieces that were submitted on the Sheridan residents. Ken Andrews, you're... Oh, you got to come down to speak. We've got to have it on the audio for the record. The opposition, okay. Thank you, Ken. James, is it Rattray? Rattray, okay, yeah. I can see your pen run out of ink there through the last couple of words. Is he here in opposition, or would you like to speak?
He's on his way
down. No, he's in turn behind these guys.
Bear with me. By the definition of the C2, it seems that...
James, could you just name an address for
sure,
the record?
Sure, James J. Rattray, 144 Turnip.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, the application for the C2 seems kind of incorrect. By your own definitions and your guidelines in the zoning, it seems to indicate that C2 districts are generally located along collector streets, along shallow portions of arterial streets, with relatively shallow lots. Now, I'm sure you have the map in front of you. You can see that there's already 9 directly impacted properties abutting that. So it seems that there's a large number of problems with the designation itself by granting the variances from 1970 but upwards. It seems like you've been just propagating an ongoing problem. So I'm all for the workers. I think you guys are doing great work. I've been downsized before because of problems, and it's not fun losing your job. But an emotional look at everything really doesn't help the situation for the neighbors. All those for the rezoning work there and or have worked with them. But I take it that if any of you were to live next door to the Odd Body Shop, you would be voting in opposition. There's a detrimental impact to the property value, an increased amount of noise, potential for increased light pollution, and I don't really think that moving to a C2 is the right thing for this particular property. I know that by the city's definition, an auto body shop can only operate on a C2 or above as per your changes, but I move to you that as a city, you have the ability to continue to grant variances, and if you want to do so, fine. But moving to a C2 to allow a business to continue while making a detrimental impact on the neighbors and the value of the property around it, I'm against that.
Okay. Any questions?
You're right on Turnham, so you're almost back on, but I didn't hear, in terms of the existing use, you haven't got noise complaints, smell complaints?
I haven't called in the complaints myself. Honestly, you'll hear some noises now and then. I've seen the guys outside working on it. There's been a minimal amount of noise. It's not a large impact to me. But then again, I've only moved in for a year, so with our harsh winters, I'm usually in the basement glued to a computer or something like that, so I'm not out there, with my nose smelling the wind or sniffing paint, as it were. Sorry, guys.
So your concern then is with the potential, if it's rezoned, what might
feel
that? Well, I do plan on selling. I'm planning renovating and selling. I don't want to take a financial hit. I'm sure those guys can appreciate the financial hit to their paycheck as a result, but as an investor, I don't want to lose the potential income from a nice, quiet zone. Assuming the owner right now, let's heaven forfend, he dies. I mean, it moves. The opportunity is there for any industry to come in, purchase the property, and make whatever they want there, destroying the skyline and potentially the value of people's properties in that neighborhood.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, James.
Can I leave this with the city clerk?
Yes, please. Next on my list, I have Michael Thwaites. Michael, here in opposition. Thank you. Joanne Desanges. Desange? Oh, sorry, Joanne. You know what? I'll call the next one if you want to make your way around to the elevator. Okay. And after Joanne, I have Esther Zacharias. Esther? Functional, right? We're good. Okay.
My name is Esther Zacharias. I live at 140 Turnham Drive.
140.
My lot, the southeast corner abuts on their property. First of all, I would like to say that the city seems to have put a lot of time and work into this application, and yet no one told us about it. The people who were most affected.
Okay.
I live on Turnham. I don't live on St. Anne's. It's just a fluke that we found out about it at all.
It would have been properly posted and public notification would have been done in the newspaper.
My point is, you have to go down St. Anne's Road to see that. I live
Esther,
behind
them. Esther,
it
also goes in the newspapers. There's a standard that it has to be done.
I'm just
We're not
saying,
here to
I
debate
that,
that today. There's a standard that's done, too. We're here to talk about the property.
I think that what you need to do in future is make it a requirement that someone contact the affected residents. First of all, I am here to object. Although the application states that no changes are planned, there's already a change of hours noted. The previous variance had the hours as 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., and this one is showing it as 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. So nobody seems to have mentioned that. Also, C2 zoning opens the door for any business to purchase this property, and that can be immediately after that zoning is changed. They can make significant changes both to the nature of the business and even the physical structure, like as you guys pointed out, 49 feet high, 60 feet high, and there's nothing that we can do about that. On the west side, all the residences for the most part are bungalows, so that would effectively destroy any sun that we would get. And it would really destroy the neighborhood and would negatively affect the enjoyment of my backyard. Once the C2 zoning is approved, there's nothing we can do about it, the way I understand that. So this does affect our neighborhood. And the city's files are showing that the residents didn't object to previous variance applications. Perhaps that is because nobody knew about them. I've lived there since 1986. This is the first time I've ever heard of anything like this. Nobody ever made sure that we knew about it. Or else you can bet there would have been people here. The website shows R5. It makes no mention of variances. It's difficult for us to have any input if we don't know about it. It's also difficult now because we heard about it only a week ago. It's hard for us to get people to come out to support this. People have jobs. you know, unfortunately, we're not all able to get time off work like Starfield's employees. So there aren't as many of us. And although the city's report also shows minimal complaints about Starfield Auto, this is not correct. Residents have made complaints, not to the city, but in cases directly to Starfield, and I understand they did address the complaints, but only for a short time, and then it was back to business as usual. I myself have a number of complaints. I did not complain in the past because it was in the spirit of being a good neighborhood. I understood there were noise bylaws and things, and kind of felt that nothing would be done about it anyway. Also, I've been working until just this year, and so I wasn't home during the day. It was a real an eye-opener this summer, my first summer at home during the week. There were a lot of problems. There's a lot of paint fumes. I heard what they were saying about paint. I don't know what kind of paint they're using, but there's a lot of paint fumes. There's also noise pollution from trucks that open or remove the scrap bins every Monday morning at 6 o'clock. There's noise pollution from snow removal equipment in the middle of the night, lights from the equipment shining into my bedroom window at the back of the house, and the beep, 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 beep. There's very loud phones ringing outside of Starfield's building, lots of employees yelling. There is light pollution from all across, all around the property. The north side, that would be the north side of the property, their property. And those lights shine into my bedroom windows all night long. There is no landscaping to camouflage that lighting. And they make absolutely no effort to blend into that residential landscape to the rear of Starfield's property. The landscaping that is there was put in there by my neighbor, who you'll be hearing from shortly. The city's report shows this as a mixed-use corridor. It says to serve service uses that support the needs of and respect the content, context of adjacent communities. This zoning to C2 does not respect our community, even though we are adjacent to Starfield. They also say that the proposed rezoning encourages planting of trees and vegetation. The zoning here does nothing to do that. In fact, it does the opposite. It's proposing a variance to allow for no buffer with none, with no trees. As I said, it's my neighbor that has planted those trees, not Starfield. As to the variance itself, someone was saying, well, what's the point of having a buffer, you know, because there isn't any noise and there's this paving. Well, maybe if you had a 25-foot buffer, as I heard mentioned on the west side, maybe some of these noise issues might be mitigated because it wouldn't be right on the back edge of your yard. I think that the neighbors all generally feel that the approval of this variance will create a substantial adverse effect on the safety and convenience of our properties. And it's not only the people directly affected on the west side, even our neighbors on the other side of the street, they're saying, oh, you're going to have such a high building? We're not going to like that. So it affects the community, not just a couple of properties. I feel sorry for Mr. Suareta that he's in this position. I sympathize, but I'm opposed to the C2 zoning and to the variance not allowing the buffer. We have to consider the future. Mr. Suareta might decide the day that that zoning is changed, he might change his mind and decide to sell, and we're out of luck. Or he could die tomorrow and have a stroke, and we're out of luck. We have to consider the future of that property, not just right now. So I believe that this C2 zoning should not be approved, and the variance should not be approved. There must be another alternative. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
No.
Thank you. Joanne, are you ready?
Sure.
Sorry, I should have got you out of there.
That's okay. I spoke to the clerk and she said that. My wheels work. This is difficult. Loss of sleep, loss of nerves.
I think my two teenage kids are missing little bits of skin on their back, but I'll do my best to. Before I start on my objection, I do have two others from neighbors that were handed in today. There's one which someone said that it had been emailed in, so I don't know if you want me to read it from Mrs. Sheila Lang from 107 Compark.
If we just have them, we can just read them as we bring forward.
That one?
We have some stuff here.
Okay, so that's fine. So I'll
your
just
name and address for the record, Joanne, please.
My name is Joanne Desange. I live at 136 Turnham Drive, and I am the neighbor that has the rear, the entire rear of the Starfield auto body. And I also have to thank the previous owners of the house who had some premonition probably and planted a long row of cedars. Otherwise, I tell you, I would see those buildings 24/7. All right, anyways. Dear members of council, thank you for this opportunity. I'd like to register my objections to the rezoning application and the variance request to eliminate a rear buffer, which doesn't exist right now. It's a pile of snow, and in summer it's parked cars and bins. So I don't understand the complexities.
Yeah, I think you need a little bit of clarity on that. There is an existing ability to do that under the current conditional use and the variance that's in place with what they did in 1989. So what's happened here is the stuff that was done in 1989 expires in May of this year, so that's why we have the opportunity to actually discuss this and adjudicate on it today.
Yes, thank you. I think the city needs to correct the mistakes that were made in the overextensions of the variances that were already allowed to the lot. But as an aside, I would like to congratulate Mr. Sfereda on a successful business that has had a positive impact on the lives of his employees and their families. It's honorable on his part to want to help his employees continue their work. I know a butt cancels things, but a contradiction was brought up in one of the presenters four, because there was a mention of until the employees retire. Well, he just named all the employees that were just recently hired, so we're going to wait another 30 years before they retire. So there's a contradiction there in the expectations, I think.
It's not something we can't, when we're dealing with rezoning, we can't deal with time.
All right. I object to the rezoning on many points. Foremost, according to the bylaws, the requested zoning does not match the current neighborhood orientation. To better my understanding of the situation, I called Mr. Kostick last week, who rejected my concern about the area becoming over-industrialized, and he compared our situation to the C4 shopping center development at Compark in Southdale. I truly believe this is not the same situation. They cannot be compared. If you take a walk along St. Anne's Road, the block between Nova Vista and Compark, you'd spot the difference immediately between them and ours. And that's a difference that I think is our responsibility as the neighbors to keep. On one side of the street, on St. Anne's, there's a quiet strip mall, followed by a series of residential houses. On the other side of St. Anne's, it's completely residential. The block remains a residential area with light commercial use. I think all of us accept that there is a possibility of commercial use on the lot. I did take a moment and looked at the South Glen development, the Compark, more specifically the houses that surround, to get a better grasp of the situation. Those houses, contrary to my home and the previous speakers, they have a frontage of their house, the width of a street, plus a sidewalk, a fence, 10 feet of landscaping, a back lane behind the buildings, and finally places to park the cars before actually reaching a building. My property doesn't have that buffer, and it needs it. A change to C2 and the possible variances would allow owners of Starfield and future businesses to build immediately alongside my property. This means there could be auto body work or more industrially intense future uses being done in my backyard. According to the City of Winnipeg zoning bylaws, the priority is to protect the homeowner's property values. Having a C2 with all its implications will have a definite impact on my property. A C2 zoning would definitely negatively allow an expansion similar to the mechanics shop on the corner of Compark and St. Anne's. It has had a detrimental effect on the area. From where I live, I can hear the noises of their shop and the car alarms going off at all hours, as well as the eyesore of seeing piles of tires and rusting truck containers. This may have been allowed to happen there, but I object that it be repeated. A C2 on the Starfield lot would create even more pollution. I'll elaborate on nuisance complaints later. Starfield may state that they want to keep things status quo, but once, as it's been said, a C2 is in place, there's no going back. Any future businesses could industrialize the area even more and push for even more variances. Already, the sign on the mechanics shop at the corner in the past week now states that they will be open Saturdays. If they can do it, then you can bet sure Starfield's going to try. I would, but that's not the option. Then, hey, if they're open on Saturdays, then we'll go to Sundays. Then, evening and weekend projects for friends and family. The house prices go down. I really think it's the city's responsibility to try to correct the situation. I object to the removal of the buffer. If Mr. Serrato wants to remove the buffer because his business requires more space, then kudos, you've done a good job building your business. That said, it may also mean that his business has outgrown its current site. And like so many other businesses, relocation becomes a viable option. The problem, as Mr. Kostick stated, is that there were too many extensions given. I know what, I'll skip that. That's a repeat. That it needs to be corrected. Stating that the business will close if Mr. Serrata does not get a C2 zoning is a somewhat narrow-minded way of looking at the matter at hand. If Mr. Serrata still wants to take care of his employees, nothing is stopping him from doing so except his own choices and possibly the opinions of the gentleman assisting him in this process, another auto shop owner. It is still possible for him to do as he wishes, but in a different location. The Starfield name, the employees, the customer base, and the equipment can all be relocated. The city planner stated to me on the phone that Starfield Auto Body attracts business from all over the city. What, therefore, is stopping him from relocating in a more appropriate area of the city? I think there are many other possible uses for the land that would still see him come out a winner. Selling the lot as a C1 would probably be a tremendous financial bonus. I think it's important for that Mr. Serrata, and to a certain extent the city, be aware that this zoning request is passing on a permanent argument with the neighbors and the current business as well as future businesses. Please do not read anything threatening in this comment. It's not the intention. Simply, I am stating that as a homeowner, I will have to become more vigilant in regards to my rights as a homeowner. And I have come to understand that the community will stand together and support each other in this undertaking. This brings me to the next point, which is quite personal, and I was hoping to never have to do, and that's to raise the nuisance complaints with the current situation. Why now, after 16 years? I was trying to be neighborly. He was there before me. I didn't want to rock the boat. I'm physically disabled, raising two children on my own, and I depend on others to survive. So I don't have the energy to run around and go and read posters on the outside of streets. So there's an access issue there. Maybe I felt I just didn't have a choice. Now I know that I was naive, my responsibility, in thinking that the business was being run to code and that the city has my best interests in mind. Sadly, now I am being punished and bullied to the fence. I need to stand up for myself and my neighborhood. I think the city needs to correct the situation. Okay, here's a list of the nuisance complaints. First, the paint fumes are sometimes so bad that I have to go inside and close the windows. Is there a bylaw protecting children from auto body paint fumes in residential areas? Next, I can hear the noise from the compressors from inside my house. Once again, I have to close myself off in my home and cannot enjoy my backyard. Also, the bright security lights shine into my yard and bedroom windows. I've had to purchase darkening shades to be able to sleep. Why not have the lights on a motion sensor and make sure they're directed towards the buildings? In addition, the noise from the BFI bin pickup between 5:30 and 6 a.m. every Monday morning makes me jump out of my sleep. There must be a better time. Same goes with snow removal. The parking lot of the auto body shop is not a major thoroughfare. The constant beeping and loud scraping noises of the snow removal equipment should not be done during quiet times. Oh, please bear me the final point, and this is no ill intentions towards Mr. Suida. He is a businessman doing what he needs to do for a business. I am a homeowner needing to do what I need. I've been living with chronic illness for 25 years. It was not planned that I be ill. We cannot plan illness and so on. We don't know how long Mr. Suida will be with us. A status quo cannot function because the day after, the family needs to sell the home, and voila, we're back right back to the C2 problem that we were issued. So I request, please rescind the request for C2, but I am open to support other applications if there is a C1 or other options, and thank you for your time.
Any questions, Councillor?
Yeah, I've got a couple, and a couple for the Planning Department as well. Just, you mentioned the difference between your house and, are you referencing the four lots that are on Com Park?
Yes, I was.
Have a deeper, okay, that's what I was unclear on. Couple of questions for the Planning Department, which are, one of the previous speakers raised a potential change in the hours here. The current existing limit, as I read it, is from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Correct.
The proposal that is before
right,
us.
For, they didn't specifically state what they wanted for the hours. We talked to the applicant and talked about their typical hours of operation, and we added the hours from 7 till 6. Is what we did on it. Sometimes when we look at it, we'll let the applicant verify, but my understanding is that they operate from 8 till 5. But sometimes people come in early, sometimes people come in, 7:30, yep. Quarter after 7. If it's generally operating like that, I'd prefer to put a recommendation forward before the committee that kind of allows for that typical tendency to occur and be clear about it versus that situation occurring and then coming back to amend a zoning agreement about that.
We're questions for this presenter right now. Are we done with the presenter, Councillor?
Yeah, I do have another question.
Okay.
For open.
You okay, we'll get the clerk to grab that, Joanne. Okay, we'll get to the questions with the planner when we're done with all the presentations, Councillor.
All right.
Okay, next on my list, I have Jill Harrison. Jill, are you here? Wish to speak?
My name is Jill Harrison, and I reside at 128 Turnham Drive.
Thank you.
I look down into the Starfield property at the back of them, and I say down because their property is 2 to 3 feet lower than my property, and I have a bi-level house. So when I sit in my sunroom, what you see on your aerial shot is what I see from my sunroom and my deck. I strongly object to the rezoning of the Starfield property from an R5 to a C2, and also strongly object to the variance that eliminates a 10-foot landscape buffer zone to the side and the back. 128 Turnham Drive has been my home for 7 years, and in that time I have put up with an unsightly view, a great deal of noise, and a bad smell. I love being outside and thought, now that I'm retired, I can sit outside all day. So I spent a lot of time and money re-landscaping, renewing the deck, adding a patio, small vegetable garden, and flower beds. Well, it turns out I can only do this on weekends and evenings. I have to get in the car and drive to St. Vitale Park to have some quiet outdoor time during the week. During the week, there's a compressor that runs from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. They wash cars all day long, and that's on my side. And it's too loud to be able to have a conversation sitting on the deck. So if I have company, we have to sit indoors. Their phone rings outside all day long, nonstop. And there's also banging and clanging from the four metal storage containers. During the winter months, there's the flashing lights and beep, beep of their snow removal during the night. It goes on for hours. I've gotten blackout curtains for my bedroom, but I can't do anything about the noise. Rezoning to C2 could conceivably make all this worse. It would also bring property values down, and I suspect that home assessments would not reflect this, therefore we would be overpaying on our property taxes. 2 years ago, my neighbors on my left, 132 Turnham Drive, put their property up for sale. I was out doing yard work during their open house, and everyone coming to see the house would come over and ask about that auto body shop behind. They all had reservations about buying a property abutting Starfields. All offers on the house were way lower than the asking price, and so therefore they decided not to sell at that time. I'm here speaking for myself and on behalf of my daughter and son-in-law, who are the owners of 128 Turnham Drive. We cannot have this rezoning. Thank you.
Questions, Councillor?
The shop has been there longer than the houses, but are you saying that have the problems gotten worse over time? Are you saying that smell, noise, and that?
The compressor, I talked to Jarvis, and I mentioned about the compressor 2 years ago, and he said that was no problem. They could put it indoors behind closed doors, and they did, and that helped considerably, but then this past summer it was outside again.
I'm trying to get a handle on this. You acquired your house, and I guess as Councillor Mays said, the business was there before the houses were there?
I don't know. I think so.
When did you acquire your house, Jill?
Pardon me?
When did you acquire your house?
7 years ago.
7 years ago. So for 7 years, that use has been there pretty well in the same shape and form that it is now, with minimal changes?
Yeah, basically.
Okay. Anything else?
No. Okay. Questions for the planners later.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Joe. I've got two more people here, the same address. You can come down together. You can, if you just want to voice your opposition, that's fine too. I've got Alexander McKenzie and M. Jane McKenzie. If you want to come down together or individually, whichever you choose.
That's probably, that building's been the same since the beginning. That used to. Yeah, but that was still zoned RR as well.
In the spirit of chivalry, we've decided it is gentlemen first.
Okay.
Thank you. And
we'll be generous with the time if need be.
Thank you very much. I have prepared a written copy of my presentation. I'll use them for speaking notes, but if I may give the copies to the councillors. Yes, for the record, my name is Alexander McKenzie, and my wife...
And I'm Jane McKenzie from 694 St. Anne's Road.
And technically, my wife is the owner of the property. Firstly, I would like to say that it is most unfortunate that we find ourselves as neighbors, and I would say good neighbors, in a position where we are having to seek an adjudication of something where there seems in many respects to be a no-win for somebody. But I do think, and I will be making a suggestion at the end of my presentation that I think would relieve things to some extent. Prior to the development of River Park South, the subject property and the neighboring properties were all river lots with frontages that went way back. They were sold to Qualico. That ended up with the whole River Park South development with Turnham Drive and so on. The property now abuts 11 lots. 9 are zoned R1, 1 is zoned RR5, and 1 is zoned C2. But even with the C2 property, there is a residence between the business operation and the border of the subject property. It struck me as somewhat odd, passing odd, that in that context, the planner would have stated, and I'm quoting from his report, the subject site is surrounded by either commercial establishments or higher quality residential development. The reality is that the property is surrounded by residential properties, R1, RR5, and one that has a residential building on a C2 lot. And if he means in the broader context, I understand that there is some commercial development on St. Anne's Road. And I think that one of the previous speakers well described the differences between those the areas which surround those developments and the neighborhood in which this commercial, very commercial, enterprise is asked to continue. The planner's report, of course, has the formula words which councillors would be asked to approve in passing the application, that it does not create a substantial adverse effect on the amenities, use, safety, and convenience of the adjoining property. It certainly does create an adverse effect. It's ridiculous, quite frankly, to suggest otherwise. It is compatible with the area in which the property to be affected is situated. Sure, drop a rather intense commercial use in the heart of residentia, and yes, it is compatible. No, it's not compatible. Appears to be a minimal conflict. It is not a minimal conflict. The fact that the meeting is proceeding with all of the attendances on very short notice is an indication that it is conflict. It is submitted that the proposal is completely incompatible, very disruptive. The intensification of the use to C2 with no buffers will ultimately impact negatively on all residential properties with rear yards abutting the property. There's been some reference to previous uses and the extent of, and perhaps not much reference to the extent of compliance. The uses go back to 1978. An application for 2 years was granted. Then it ran for 5 years with no particular authorization, and there was an application again made for continuation of the use. The first application required that a fence be built along the property line which separates my neighbor, and he is a good neighbor, from our lot. There was to be a fence of 6-foot height that went all the way from a small stand of trees near the front of the property all the way to the back. Also, as it's already been noted, the 1989 application called for hours of operation to be from 8 o'clock. And it seems to be absolutely no concern that that there has been operation from 7 o'clock. It's been mentioned by the city planner. It's been mentioned by my neighbor. What does it mean, then, to impose a rule that is supposed to be 8 o'clock? Does it mean that because we don't bother enforce the rules that, heck, we should expand them even more? Is that the intention? I don't quite understand that logic, with greatest respect. In any event, when we moved into the property roughly 15 years ago, there was a 50-foot gap in the fence that was to have been constructed as of 1978. And this was unusual, and I had a discussion with my very good neighbor, Mr. Swaretta, who said that the previous owner, Mr. Zapolchinsky, whose name is on the last application that preceded the 25-year conditional use, he said that Mr. Zapolchinsky had always allowed him to turn his cars by backing out of the service bays that run along the north side of his buildings to the south of us. And he would like, if he could, to continue that, using our driveway to turn around in. And it seemed unneighborly to deprive him of that, so we agreed that he should do that. And he did continue to do that. And he continued to do that until roughly 2005, when one of his customers was backing towards our property, and one of my toddler grandchildren ran across the path of the back of the car, and Mr. Soretta himself saw the danger, and Mr. Soretta himself was extremely concerned about it, and Mr. Soretta and I discussed the erection of a fence. But because Mr. Soretta's service bays, and there are 9 of them along that little stretch, because of those 9 service bays, he needed room for cars to back and little room for cars to turn, room for cars to get by each other. So I think what I agreed to do was to allow him to put the fence on my yard, 3 feet into my yard. And you will see in one of the exhibits, or schedules as they're called, to my presentation, you will see a survey certificate recently obtained. It's item number C, which shows a fence. But it doesn't show a fence on Mr. Soretta's property. It shows a fence on my property. Now, as a RR2, I'm not under any obligation to erect a fence. And I certainly didn't want it on my yard, and I don't really want it on my yard. I've never wanted it on my yard. But out of a sense of neighborly spirit, it's on my yard. And the other thing that was discussed was the duration. Mr. Soretta said, look, you know, I'm going to be retiring. I'm getting a little on. We're all getting a little on, I think, is the reality of the matter. But he said that it was expected to, he wouldn't need it for all that long. He had a use that was expiring in a few years. I'm not sure we identified the exact time. So the fence is now in my yard. But it was put there out of a very neighborly spirit with the intention that it would come down when the use expired, and it is certainly not going to be allowed to continue there. Now, that will create problems for Mr. Soretta, because he will have the very same problems as he would have had as if I didn't give him the opportunity to use the yard for fence. May I have a few more moments?
Yeah, Mr. Riccazzoli, we're just getting into these anecdotal situations that aren't really doing us much good in gathering the information that we need. So, we understand some of what they're being put forth as injurious effect, and some of them are in the big picture of land zoning, and some of them are sort of specific to incidents. Mm-hmm. We're just looking for sort of the meat and the potatoes here of specific to the land use and the impacts. And as the most immediate neighbor, or one of the most immediate neighbors, and as you say, a good neighbor, we're looking for things that might help us resolve this issue in as kind and gentle a fashion as we can, recognizing we have a responsibility to deal with land use here before we have a responsibility to deal with people.
Thank you. Then regarding the C2 zoning application in particular, The minimum classification in zoning that will permit an auto body or an auto repair shop is the C2. But it is submitted that the C2 classification is not at all suitable for the subject property. There are, as I've mentioned, three to the north. There are three adjacent RR5 properties there to the north of me. If Mr. Serretta gets a C2 zoning, already my property is difficult. My property is difficult because of the use that goes on next door to it. But we have sat on our hands. We enjoy our residence. It's a very nice residence. It's got some nuisances from the neighbors, although they try to keep them to a minimum. I respect that they do that. But the fact is that there are BFI trucks that go by. The fact is that there are paint smells. The fact is that there are glaring lights. The fact is that all of those things are realities which ultimately impact on the quality of our property, which we expected to come to an end. And if there's a C2 zoning, it will make it permanent. And if that happens, then we are under pressure to do something with our property other than live there. The proposal for a variance to eliminate the need for buffers is another concern. The neighbors to the west and to the south have addressed their concerns. Along the border between Mr. Serretta's property and Mr. and Mrs. Serretta's property and my property, there is an absolute loading parking area. And the city bylaws provide, and I'm now on page 6 here, that where there is a parking loading area, there is to be a land, it says in 198, a landscape buffer must be installed when a parking or loading area accessory to any use other than a single or two-family residential use is located within 20 feet of a side or rear lot line abutting or adjacent to a residential zoning district. That's us. The only buffer is the fence that's 3 feet onto my yard, and that will not be lasting. So I am concerned that the planning department did not take into account the need for that buffer. It's not included in the application for a variance, yet it seems just to disappear because no one has raised the issue. That's not satisfactory. I'm entitled to the buffers as much as anyone. It should have been dealt with in the application. The fact that it's not dealt with in the application, I would suggest the application is deficient. If the C2 is granted and we don't have the buffers and we haven't dealt with it in a variation, then there's just another kind of non-compliance. And do we come back to deal with that again? There are so many additional points of, at the moment, the way things have developed, it's because it's a RR5 zoning. There are no fencing requirements for such a property. There are no buffer requirements for such a property. So the property has just grown. It's an RR5, it's grown, it's got the, it's developed into what it's developed into. But if it becomes a C2, there are many, 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 many points of non-compliance if one goes through the bylaws. So there is no compliance with the Section 172 parking and loading standards. There are no dimensions for the parking spaces there. It's all over the place. It's wherever you can find a place. It's ad hoc parking. There's no compliance with Section 95.7, requirements that all vehicle preparation and washing be conducted within an enclosed building and that garbage containers be enclosed within a barrier. As soon as it's...
Mr. McKenzie, we're aware of all of those things. We listen and we adjudicate on these things on a regular basis.
Okay.
We have a plan approval process where we look at those things, but a variance is a variance, and it's asking to vary things
right,
such as buffers.
Well, not the buffer between me.
I think we've been pretty generous with time. I'm going to ask if your wife wants to come forward and say a few words.
Well, if I might just say the one thing that I think could ameliorate this. I think that the bylaws quite specifically allow for the continuation of this use. Bylaw in 200, 2006, section 116 states notwithstanding a number of other sections, all existing conditional use orders for auto dealers and auto repair operators are not affected by the bylaw. Conditional use orders with expiry dates shall be allowed to continue to operate in compliance with the conditions contained in their respective orders until up to January the 1st, 2005, at the discretion of the Director of Planning. So it is within the discretion of planning to do this. It's not something which is prevented. And what I think would be a reasonable solution, if Mr. Serretta wants to continue his operation, and I have a great deal of sympathy for that, I think that Mr. Serretta should continue with an RR5, and he should have imposed upon him the restrictions that would apply to his operation if it were a C2. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Mrs. McKenzie, would you like to add anything?
Well, a lot of what I have on my paper, which I'll hand in, has been said by other people. I'm actually not quite sure what you want now, given you've...
Well, you know, the anecdotal information is really, it's just that, it's anecdotal. We're looking for the stuff that's relative to zoning and to the conditional uses and or to the variance that's in front of us.
Okay.
We've heard clearly that you believe that your husband believes that there's an injurious effect by not having the buffer, that the use is not in keeping with what you'd like to see there, mm-hmm. that there are negative impacts. We've heard that.
Yes.
Noise, smell.
Yep, and I have all that down there because we have that.
I think we get the gist of that. We understand the bit of a paradox that we're in here, given that it has existed for so long, and if you could give us any more information that would help us in our decision making, we'd certainly appreciate that. But I think we're sort of at a point where we mostly need to talk with our planners to try and figure out if there is any reasonable solution here, or if we have to look at other things.
Okay, I guess the whole problem here is the variance is required in order to remove the necessity for the buffers and side yards in order to allow for parking for that auto body shop, which I think, although I wasn't there in 1975 when it started, or there in 1978, has expanded. It stretches all the way back, and in order to get, I don't think it's, I personally, and I don't know for sure, I haven't done any surveying, I don't think it's a drainage issue, as was mentioned in the report of the city planner, because the whole yard is concrete. It's asphalt, pardon me. It's all asphalt. And so there is no drainage there because of that. So the buffers are needed. The buffers basically, I think, would assist that, but they have to go because of the parking. We move our fence back where it belongs. Right now, they're parking all along there. They won't be able to park there because there'll be another 3 feet into their property, maybe more. They won't be able to operate their current business the way they will need to because there's not enough room. They've expanded so far into their property that there's not enough room to comply with all the things that would be needed for C2 zoning. That's
okay. Thank you very much. Any questions, Councillor?
I do have a couple of questions for Mr. McKenzie. My impression, you've got two buildings, one to the west, one. You've got two buildings on your property. Is the front one the law office and the back one the residence, or what am I seeing there?
No, the front one is the residence. It is a much larger building. The one that is in behind is a significantly smaller building, and then it has attached to it a three-car garage and a tinkerer's workshop.
But in the law, I mean, the signage outside is for the law office. That's in the front that. The building that's on St. Anne's?
No. The law office is in the smaller the small building behind it. It's accessed through the parking, the driveway to the north on the property.
And I wanted to ask about you had offered a potential way out of this, if I can put it that way.
Yes.
Is the bylaw you're quoting from in your brief here, your submission, or were you quoting something
zoning
else?
Yes, it is referred to in my submission. It is on the last page.
The last Page 11?
That would be page 11.
Okay.
And what I, well, it is the large paragraph. If I might discuss it with you, I'd be very pleased to do that.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what you were saying there, because you'd say, I get what you're saying in terms of essentially extend the nonconforming use, but then you also said, but subject to, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm trying to paraphrase you. If I'm doing it wrong, correct me, but you're saying subject to some of the conditions which govern C2 zoning. So detail that out for me, if you will.
Yes, if I may. Well, first of all, let me preface this by saying I have been told by the city planner, I have been told by Mr. Serretta, I have been told by Mr. Bembridge, the applicant, and I have absolutely no question that it is so, that when they originally approached the city, it was for an extension of their conditional use, and that they were told absolutely not. Couldn't happen. I believe that the section of the bylaw that I have cited, in fact, says quite specifically it can happen. So if it can happen, and if I am not mistaken, then the question is, under what terms should it happen? Right? Now, I agree absolutely with my wife. I agree with the other neighbors. The extent of the use and the extent of the operation has outgrown the size of less than an acre of land. That's why the fence is on my yard. That's why he needs no buffers. That's why those things are an issue, because he's been very successful and hooray and good, and that's wonderful. But the fact is that it is still an inappropriate thing for all of the residential neighbors. So how do we make a transition? I mean, we start off with a 30-year conditional use following about eight others, so it's been 35 years of conditional use. It is so, I think, that Mr. Serretta is I don't question that he's very concerned about his employees, and I've been, as a neighbor, I've been happy to try to see him through to his retirement, which I thought was imminent. Not tomorrow or the next day, but, you know, sometime in the reasonable future, but not for the youngest person on his staff. So there's got to be a transition. Either the decision is made here that this use goes in and it's like a bad tooth because it's going to be nothing but trouble, or there's got to be a way out. And I'm looking for the way out. I have racked my mind for the way out. The way out, I believe, is to continue the RR5 zoning so that there's no change, to rely upon the section that I cited very, very quickly, I might add. I would have said a little more about that section, but I was in a hurry. I think that if it is allowed to continue, if that operation is allowed to continue as a RR5 conditional use, which is, in my view, clearly possible, then what is important is for the city planners, and perhaps in discussion with neighbors and in discussion with Mr. Serretta, to start to craft some conditions that force, if you will, a reduction of the expansiveness of the business. There are, so, for example, there's a farm tractor that's often kept there. Mr. Serretta runs a very successful riding horse ranch. There's often a horse trailer there. There's sometimes a mobile home that's stored right along our property line, the very fence that we've been talking about. There is a two or three in all of the photographs. I've got a number schedules. Some of them include the three photographs from the year 2005, 2009, 2012 from the City IMAP system. And what they show is that at the front there's this rather substantial amount of pavement that is almost always unused. Well, that's because it makes the residential front of the property nicer. But why should the neighbors at the back suffer because the owner has a nice driveway at the front? I mean, there are ways to adjust things. And also the light blaring. Well, the lights shouldn't be blaring, but there's a bylaw that deals with that. So there's lots and lots and lots and lots of tools in the planner's kit that could put some pressure on my neighbor to reduce the scope and bustling nature of his business. I don't want his business to fail, but I think that he owes it to his neighbors to start to look to reduce it so that it is not unruly and it's manageable. And I think that's possible. So that's what I would recommend, that there be an RR5, it continue, but that there be some conditions imposed prior to the expiry of the current conditional use, which is May the 1st, 2014, that there be some conditions placed upon the continuation of the business, and that they be designed with a view to creating the kind of amenities which a C2 zoning district is supposed in the ordinary course to provide to residential houses. That seems to me to be a way out of this. We don't want we do not want a war. I mean, it's the last thing we want. I pled with the planner, and I think that he would agree with me that I pled with him to allow a conditional use to continue. I pled with him, and Mr. Soretta pled with him, and I understand Mr. Bembridge pled with him. He says, no, can't be done, just can't be done. Well, that's why we're here. But I think it can be done, and I think that is it Section 116, I believe it is? Again, I don't mean to bore to repeat myself, but I would like to just say that Section 116.7 says, notwithstanding certain other subsections which I don't think apply, all existing conditional use orders for auto dealers and auto repair operations are not affected by the bylaw. Conditional use orders with expiration dates, and that's exactly what we have here, shall be allowed to continue to operate in compliance with the conditions contained in their respective orders, and that would be, by the way, 8 o'clock, and that would be a fence, until January 1st, 2005, at the discretion of the Director of Planning. Well, that's where we come to the tricky part. How do we get the Director of Planning to craft the conditions and the provisions that will, on the one hand, put some gentle pressure on my neighbor to reduce the scope of his burgeoning business, and on the other hand, start to prepare it for compliance with zoning. I don't want it to be C2 zoning, don't get me wrong, but if he can't even meet with those criteria, well, my goodness, I mean, he's way too big for the property then. I would think C1 is ultimately what it should be. That's my own view. But that is the solution that I propose.
Okay.
Thank you very kindly.
Thank you for that.
For hearing me on that.
Thank you. Clerk, I think Ms. McKenzie wants to hand in the...
Thank you, Mr. Swandell.
Thank you. Okay. Is there anybody else here to speak on this item in opposition who is not registered and still wishes to speak? Anybody else here for information that hasn't registered and wishes to speak? Hearing none, I will call Mr. Bembridge back in rebuttal. We will just take, we'll hear Mr. Bembridge and then we'll take a break.
Do you wish for me to go into great detail about property values and all that sort of stuff, or should I just address the issue?
We understand the property value issue. Okay. I think it's the impacts that it currently exists, what's been there, what's go on.
May I ask, does Mr. McKenzie have a legitimate solution to this, and is it true that
We don't think we can get into you asking us questions.
Fair enough.
You need to rebut.
May I suggest that it isn't a conditional use order that Starfield's been operating under, and it's a variance use order, and there's quite possibly a difference between the two. So if it is a way out, I think I could probably submit that it would be something to look at. If it's not a way out, then unfortunately we have to address the issue, which it seems to be the variance. I think in all the qualities, something's going to happen to this property. We're standing here before you guys today to get rid of a problem that was created a long time ago, and to get rid of it is to zone it C2 and allow it to continue the way that it is. Along the way, we've learned that there's a few things that maybe we need to take care of on a housekeeping, related issues, which I will submit that we're, and I say we, Jarvis and Florence and the staff at Starfield will be perfectly willing to look at. Hours of business, the noise of the pressure washer, garbage bin, snow removals, all of those things can come into some kind of neighborly compliance. Something's going to happen to this property. If the body shop comes to an end, something's going to happen to this property sooner than later, and there'll be someone else standing in front of you here today asking for something with just as great an impact. It's a St. Anne's Road address. It is surrounded by commercial use, and the chances that something with an equivalent impact are definitely going to be there. I just took some notes, if you bear with me for a second. One of the concerns raised was the height of a building under C2 zoning designation. If there's a restriction of height, that wouldn't be a problem, etc. So I think, back to the variance, we have already conceded as much landscaping as we think we can manage. But if there's something else that we can look at, we definitely will expand that landscape buffer. I sort of understand what Mr. McKenzie is saying when, the business is growing towards the property lines. Really, this variance is for the parking, with a combination of fencing and landscaping, much similar to what we submitted there. We would be, we would be agreeable to taking a harder look at that.
Richard, maybe I can throw a question at you here. One of
Certainly.
The big problems I'm having with this application is that it would appear that somebody in the past, I see it as a bad decision, was made to, instead of rezoning the land at the time they did this variance use order or conditional use order or whatever it's characterized as today. But it seems to me that it's pretty clear that they did this to allow the current user to sort of live out their business life on that property. And now at the 11th hour of it coming to an end, we're being asked to consider the impact on his employees and their business life. How do you respond to that?
I think we wouldn't be here if the proper zoning was put in place instead of the variance use order, and maybe that's why the city's made a decision to get rid of those. I expect that they've been grief all along. Simply said, it's a business that complies with the community strategies division. It's a business that C2 zoning is considered to be acceptable for that area of St. Vitale, and the type of business that it is for C2 zoning. So when we went to the city to ask if this thing could continue and learned that, yes, it can, as long as you rezone the property to C2, we didn't contemplate that that the issue was whether or not the extension, the variance use order expiry, was to end a business. I can't explain why 25 years ago the city thought it was the best solution to the problem, rather, was to put an expiry date on a business. It doesn't make any sense to put an expiry date on a business.
Well, usually it is because a business is going to wind down. I've seen it come forward in other applications, even in my history here at City Hall, that people say, well, we'll be done in 5 years.
There was no intent.
In this case, 25 years.
There was no intent 25 years ago to suggest that, you know, we want to end. The intent 25 years ago was, and I wasn't there, but the intent 25 years ago was to get a variance use order to continue because the option at the time perhaps wasn't to rezone. I think we're in a time now where we're here today because we have no choice.
Okay. Councillor, did you want to add anything here? Councillor Mays has some questions.
Go ahead, please.
Maybe use the question method, might get most of the information out here.
Yeah, let's do it.
We've heard talk that there can be a height limit as part of a zoning restriction. What is the existing height? What's the maximum height of what's on the site?
I'm going to guess, but I don't think you have a measurement to the center of any pitched roof there greater than 14 feet. Like, it's all a single-level bungalow construction, every building on there. There's nothing there that's a second story.
Second question is, the variance, what I'm still trying to get my head around, if you had to comply with the variance, if you didn't get the variance, what's the impact on the operation? I mean, it's clear if we don't give the rezoning, what happens to the...
Yeah, good question.
You're giving out notice, but what happens if we don't give you the variance?
Good question. On the west property, as you'll see in the planner's report, there is an asphalt swale against a curb. Mostly the resistance to install a 10-foot buffer there is the complexity of complying with that variance, and obviously the loss of parking and some of the operation. If we don't get the variance and we have to comply, it's something we'll have to look at quite seriously to realize, you know, or reconfigure the lot. As Sandy suggests, there's an issue with a fence that is already going to become part of what Jarvis and Florence are going to have to consider going forward. So, you know, what I would probably wish to hear is that you can have the variance, but you have to submit a plan to be approved to sort of not get all of the variance for every meter of that property line, but for as much as you can develop in a buffer, we would like to see that. We would do our best to comply with that. Absolutely. And with the issue of the noise and all the things that I heard from the opposition, it is very much appreciated. And Jarvis and I did learn that on our short canvas that we tried to conduct. And he did sort of say to me, had someone brought these things to his attention at the front of his store, he would have been glad to take care of them, as some people did suggest he did in years past. And again, the garbage dumping issue has been taken care of already. It was one phone call to ask the garbage people to come at a different time. Moving the pressure washer back inside is something that can be done very simply. There's when we say, as I represent Jarvis and Florence and Starfield Lottabody, when we say we want to continue with people, not against people. And if it means turning the intercom system down and things like that, if you have to write those into an agreement, they're perfectly acceptable. The intent is to continue, not to redevelop the property, which is going to happen if Starfield comes to an end, because something will have to be done with it, and you guys will be here listening to somebody else ask for something. So,
I think we're going to be here dealing with this property several times again in the not-too-distant future. We've got a lot of information. I think really what we need to do is start talking to our planner here. And unless you want to add anything else, Richard, what I'm going
to... Well, I could hold up a map of the assessment department and show you that the property values are all the same. I can quote what I have from the Keystone Matrix, where the home sales are not dissimilar to the rest of them, you know, the buffer RM districts. I mean, to me, the issues aren't really how much is my house worth and what's it going to be worth afterwards, because every home has been abutted against this commercial operation and this what has been referred to an intense use for a very, very long time, and everyone seemed to survive until there's a day when there's a forum we get to say something that, you know, maybe
we understand that.
So I didn't want to go into all of that if I don't have to.
We understand that the use was there before the homes, or if not before the homes, before most of the...
Right, and if the use disappears, there'll be another intense use
not,
there.
Not it's the a, biggest issue that's in front of us right now.
Okay. Is, do you have any more questions about,
I don't have
about
any more this time.
The
I
biggest
think,
issue?
What I'm going to suggest we do is, just to give everybody a bit of a break, if we take 5 minutes, folks, if they need to use a washroom, there's one downstairs here. We're going to take a bit of a break, and then we'll come back and we'll get into the to talking with our planners.
If anybody has to leave or wants to leave, are they perfectly willing to do so, or are those who spoke have to stay?
No, if you've made your presentation, we have your information already. But it's going to take us a while to sort through this information with the planner and figure out how to come to a decision here. You'll get a letter in the mail. If you don't wish to stay, you'll get a letter stay. You'll get a letter in the mail telling you what's happened as long as you were registered on one of these forms. But we're going to take a 5 or 10 minute break here, give people an opportunity just to stretch a bit and use the washroom if they need.
You know, this is the longest we've been here, I bet you, in 2 years. And Vandel chooses to be absent.
Even longer, Vandel.
Okay. Have we got everybody here? Are we all ready? Okay. I think we've already completed our business with you. You've done your rebuttal. We're at the point where we need to talk with our administration. Try and understand some of the stuff that's been put in front of us. Let me say this to you, Robert. We've got a bit of a dilemma here. There's two very obvious pieces that sit in front of me, or both of us. One is that the use has been there historically. I think, you know, property owners around probably saw it there. They didn't even know there would have been a conditional use on it. They would have just thought it was there. I also kind of believe that that when the 25 years was given as a use, that it was intended to expire and probably for the gentleman to retire. So I got both of those pieces sitting in front of me. Well, I don't think with today's zoning bylaw that we can, you can't even do a conditional use or a use variance, as it's been referred to, on this zoning anymore, period, for this, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
So even as C1, you couldn't do a variance that would, or a conditional use that would allow this to be permitted.
Under C1, it's outright not permitted. It just simply cannot be applied for.
You can't vary that. You can't have a conditional use. You can't even apply for it.
Essentially cannot be applied for. As simple as that.
Okay. Now, Mr. McKenzie brought forward the issue of the extending the variance.
Right. His portion that he referred to actually came under 115 of the bylaw, section 115 of the zoning bylaw, which applies to major home-based businesses. Among the conditions of a home-based business, number one, this is not a home-based business, so it's irrelevant. Number two, just to show clearly how this cannot be a home-based business, is that it would have a maximum of 2 non-resident employees working on the premises. So, I mean, this is well above and beyond that. And, like, number three, it's not a conditional use. This is a variance, a use variance that was granted a number of years back.
Under
a previous bylaw and under perhaps even the charter was different at the time. The charter
was different at the time.
Yeah.
Okay, so our options in front of us then are to outright deny everything here.
Yes.
Which one would basically put them out of business May of this year.
Next year, yeah.
Or May of 2014.
2014, yeah.
May of 2014. And, or to zone it C2.
Correct.
Now, the big concern I heard about the C2 zoning is that there are a whole bunch of other uses that come with that that may be more offensive than this use.
Yeah, correct. And there is an opportunity to further restrict the property through a zoning agreement. Here we've only offered one condition for the committee's consideration, which was to restrict the hours of operation and limit it to Monday to Friday, and that would only apply to the proposed or the existing use, I suppose, or a contractor's establishment, which is kind of a like use, which could generate quite a bit of noise and whatnot. That could be expanded. It could expand to include hours, sorry, not hours of operation, that's already been discussed. It could be expanded to restrict uses as seen fit by the committee. It could be expanded to make uses conditional if seen fit by the committee. Height of the building, setbacks, additional restrictions could be integrated into the zoning agreement.
What are some of the more obnoxious uses in C2 zoning? The old bylaw just used to list the uses, and this bylaw is kind of sprinkled throughout the...
Some of them, I'm sure as many in attendance have stated that they think that this existing use is one. A contractor's establishment is another. Perhaps a fuel sales one could be seen as being a little bit as obnoxious use in here. It might have similar concerns with the lighting, sound system, et cetera. Those are a couple that come to mind immediately. But beyond that, C2 is more commercial in nature outside of those uses. A recycling collection center, which is really a drop-off point, but that could be something that could be considered. But C2 is really predominantly geared towards office, retail, and personal service types of uses. But those come to mind as being potential. Landscaping or garden supplies potentially could be another one.
Are drive-throughs permitted on C2?
Yeah, they are, with a use-specific standard. So there are conditions towards how the drive-through could be formulated on the site.
Councillor?
Yeah, just I want to get that. We want to be as clear as possible here. So we heard people talk about C1. That's not an option because you can't do auto repair.
It's like keeping the zoning as is. It serves no purpose for the applicant.
Right. So we're down then to two options. You're saying Mr. McKenzie gave a certain interpretation of the bylaw. Our legal interpretation varies from that. It's our understanding here, because we certainly heard a lot of people say, I just want to keep it the way it is, but our legal interpretation is that that's not one of the options we have before us. To grant another variance, call it a conditional use, call it a variance, we can't do that.
Going to the charter, the City of Winnipeg Charter Act, is that a variance must not be approved if it makes a change of land use other than a temporary change of land use for a period of not more than 5 years. Simply stated, his credits have been cashed. He's had a temporary change of land use for many years. Beyond 25, we're looking at 30 years.
We've done one for more than 5 years, so we're out of options then.
Last one was 25 years.
Last one being 25.
We put a condition on there that I find today would be viewed as questionable from our perspective today. From zoning and permits and from the planning and land use
division. The charter wouldn't allow you to exceed 5 years now.
No.
The City of Winnipeg Charter Act.
No.
I tell you, in a perfect world, would I, knowing what I know sitting here, if it was an option, I would sort of, 36 months, wind this down, try and get the employees to buy it out and move on. And we're just like, this is very frustrating.
So, in as brief terms as possible, our options are reject the rezoning, put them out of business, or accept the rezoning. They can continue in business, but we can put limits on the zoning, and the variance is completely within our discretion, I suppose. Yeah.
The zoning agreement, in association with the rezoning, you can put additional restrictions on that go above and beyond the bylaw. In fact, restricting the hours of operation is the one recommended condition of the zoning agreement is an example of that. With regard to the variance, again, the committee could choose to outright reject the variance, or they could choose to allow it with conditions as well.
We could have plan approval?
Correct.
Put in place?
Correct.
So that would come...
right? That would come back to
us then, if we had planned, that would come back here.
Stated, and for everyone's benefit who's looked at the report, it's not stated that it would come back to the Real Community Committee. It's stated that it would come back to the director. That can be changed to be both the director and the Real Community Committee.
I don't know what you want to do here, Councillor, but I don't want to try and do this completely on the fly tonight. I think I can say where I'm leaning right now. I'm leaning towards doing a rezoning and seriously restricting it, trying to figure out what conditions to put on the variance that mitigate the impacts here as much as we can without putting them out of business. As I said before, if we could, I would be looking for sort of 36 months and saying we're done here. But I think we can restrict height, we can restrict, and especially with the variance. But I think you're going to have to do a lot more talking with the planner here to make this work in a way, that we're, with the strokes that we make, that we're not basically killing it, the business at the same time, and that we can go far enough so we can restrict it that we're greatly mitigating these concerns. Some of these are very easy concerns to mitigate: noise, light, height of buildings, the garbage pickup.
I agree with that in a couple of senses. If we could, I think we would extend it by 3 years and to use that as a notice, but. The advice we have, and obviously Mr. McKenzie took a different view legally, if he wishes to pursue that, he certainly can, but the advice we have before us is that we don't have an option to carry on this 40-year tradition of just extending it. So, yeah, business has been there for decades. My inclination is not to put it out of business. So my inclination is, therefore, you'd have to grant the rezoning. And certainly it's been there longer than most of those, maybe all of those houses. So people who have bought there bought knowing that there was an auto body repair business there. That said, I would like to restrict it to the extent we certainly can in terms of height, in terms of the use, in terms of the – and as Councillor Swandell says, the easy thing would be to kick the just say no to the variance, but are you then dooming the business through the back door rather than doing it up front? So we do, I think, share a concern about the two things, the way the business is operating now, though that's been relatively quiet. At least I get a lot more calls from the people in the Southland trailer park about their neighbors than I do about this neighbor. And we've heard him described as a good neighbor. But I can see why people are concerned about the future and saying, I don't want a huge building right over top of me. And I'm also a little reluctant to, if we give too expansive a zoning, that could be used in the future to ask for a bigger residential zoning. So I think we're headed to the same place here in terms of trying to limit the permission here as much as we can.
And we're going to have to spend a little time with the planner, a little bit of time to let us know what legally we can restrict. Because there's some things that are easy to restrict, some things that are much more difficult and technical in nature. So I think what we're going to do here this evening is that we're going to get through the part where we close the receipt of public representations and we accept the report of the committee. But the actual motion on what it will be, we will bring forward our next community committee meeting. You won't need to appear. You'll all get notice of exactly what that says once we have the proper information. We can't do it on the fly here, trying to pick through the pieces of the bylaw that we can limit and figuring out those that we can't. We'd be here all night in debate with not just ourselves but also with the planner and Mr. Raban, who's been very quiet on this matter, avoiding getting mixed up in this dilemma that we have. So I think, Councillor, if you want to move those motions, so the first two motions that we normally move, then we'll be able to bring tonight's business to a conclusion.
And am I able to speak to reasons as part of that? Or where
well, you won't go there. You only want to just accept that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read and move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
Okay.
and then lay it over at that point.
Okay. Just before I do that, by way of conclusion, I appreciate everyone who's come out. No, I don't think either of us get a great deal of pleasure out of doing this, because there have been some concerns raised about if you do move to C2 zoning, what do you mean for our future? Our hands, we're dealing with a decision from 25 years ago. We don't have the same flexibility that it appears the council of the day did. So we're not offering
the council of that day might have just taken liberty, whether they had the flexibility or not.
So we're not, neither of us is inclined to kill off this business that's been there for a long time, but we are also trying to listen to the residents and trying to limit whatever permissions we get. And we'll be back again. This is the longest meeting I've been to since I was elected of this committee, but we'll be back to, I assume, at the next meeting to deal with this further. March 11th, yes. So I will move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor, contrary, carried.
And I'll move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor, contrary, carried.